Every so often I hear very clearly from the Lord what he wants to say to us, and I throw out whatever other plans I had for the homily, if I actually had any plans for the homily. Today's one of those days. This is one of those weekends. The last time something like this was very clear, that this is what the Lord really wants to say to us, was January 1st. It was the Feast of Mary, Mother of God. And the Lord said, and I think it's a message for all year, especially this year, but I don't know if those things unfolded in orderly fashion. It is God, so it's not like I'm trying to plan this. But he said, to stop thinking of yourselves, that we need to stop thinking of ourselves so in such a secular way. The way that you look at your life, the way that I look at my life, he said, it's too worldly. You're made in the image and likeness of God, and your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's as if the Lord was saying to me, you are forgetting. You're thinking of yourself in all of these other ways, which aren't necessarily false, but you're forgetting this one, that you're a temple of my Holy Spirit, that I dwell within you. Today we celebrate the presentation where Jesus, the Word made flesh, enters into the temple in the flesh. God, whose presence has already dwelt in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant, now he comes and enters in the flesh. The great high priest, robed in flesh, enters into the temple. And that image is anything with the temple should remind us always through baptism that we, in the new covenant, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord was telling us on January 1st, I want you to think of yourself as being sacred. I want you to think of your life as being sacred. I want you to think about your daily efforts as being something more sacred. You know, your very body itself, your relationships, you are something sacred. And the temptation is always to do, I guess, to be too secularly minded, to have too much of a secular mindset can get us to think about things in only a pragmatic way, only a realistic, believable, what's the most utilitarian way we can do this? To look at things in a sacred way is to ask a different question. And some of the utilitarian questions aren't bad, right? Like, how can we accomplish some task without duplicating our efforts? How can we accomplish that task more quickly? Those are great. God is not opposed to those. He gave you intellect for a reason. But before we ask those questions, he wants us to ask this, and this is the point of the homily. Lord, what would please you? What is pleasing to God? In this situation, what is pleasing to God? In this relationship, what is pleasing to God? In my day-to-day, what would be pleasing to God? That's the question that the Lord says to us today. I don't want you to forget this question. And as we ask that, spoiler alert, what is pleasing to God is always obedience. He delights in that more than in sacrifice. He doesn't, there's a lot of other stuff that we could do more than what we can accomplish for him. More than how efficient we can be or how effective we can be or how fruitful you can be or how, even more than how many people you can bring into the church. Yes, I actually said that. What would be pleasing to you, Lord? He loves that question. And the answer always lies in obedience to him. We see two people in today's gospel, Anna and Simeon, who are very pleasing to the Lord. Anna never leaves the temple. She's fasting and praying day and night. Simeon, who is a just man, awaiting the consolation of Israel, he's waiting for the Christ, the Messiah, to come, the promised one, to come to Israel and give them the freedom that the Lord has promised for so many years, for so many generations, for centuries. And the key moment in that is that where it says, Simeon came to the temple in the Spirit. In the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit prompted him. He doesn't know the Holy Spirit by name because the Trinity hasn't been explicitly revealed. But all three members of the Trinity are throughout Scripture from the first chapter of Genesis till, you know, the end. But he doesn't know the Holy Spirit by name, but it is the Holy Spirit. He comes to the temple in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's leading him. He's praying a lot. He's asking what would please the Lord. He's obeying what he hears. And so he knows God's voice, and he knows how to hear God say something, be confident that it's the Lord, and follow it and obey it. So he does. He obeys the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Goes into the temple. Good thing he prayed his holy hour that morning, because then he saw Jesus, for whom he had waited his entire life. And his eyes see what many holy men and women longed to see but didn't get to see it. He saw. The Lord had promised him that he would not die before he saw the promised Messiah. And in Jesus, he sees the promised Messiah. These two people are models of what it means to pursue the Lord, to know what he wants, to meditate on his law. What does the word of God say? What do the scriptures say? Because if I'm going to ask what pleases the Lord, I'm going to want to know all of the answers. And no matter how many years you've been reading the Bible, there is more that you learn. I learned a lot in the last 2 weeks because I started to realize I preach about reading the Bible a lot, but I go through spells where I don't read it very often. I just kind of rely on the knowledge I already have. It's just totally hypocritical. So I'm practicing what I preach more so than I was. And I've learned so much just in the last couple of weeks. Or relearn some things, or learn something, but in a deeper way, from a deeper perspective, through reading the Bible. And you know what? I have more of a desire to know what God wants than I did 2 weeks ago. We need to be doing that, and the Lord is inviting us into that. And just to give you an example of what I mean by this, that it's not necessarily efficient. In fact, God is, he shows off by being terribly inefficient a lot of the time. There's a story I want to share with you. It's about physical healing. Because it kind of captures what the kind of obedience that I'm talking about. There was a young man who, I think he just woke up one day with this burning desire to heal someone who was afflicted with deafness. And I don't know, Hunter, he probably wasn't much older than you. So he's going out there and he's, who's going to be deaf that I'm going to see? Well, he goes in. All of a sudden, he sees deaf people everywhere. I'm telling you, this doesn't happen to me. But he goes in and he sees someone signing to someone else in public, and he knows he should go pray, but he doesn't do it. And he feels terrible because he really, really wanted, for some reason, he really wanted to see God heal someone of deafness. So he feels terrible. There's just this kind of guilt and, oh, I'm so cowardly. Oh, it feels terrible. I know the feeling. A couple weeks later, goes out and he sees at the line in Home Depot. I don't know if it's Home Depot, but I like to think it was Home Depot. And he sees this older man signing to his wife, and the Holy Spirit nudges him, just like the Holy Spirit nudged Simeon. Hey, I want you to pray for this guy. Okay. And then God says, put your fingers in his ears. What? Get them wet first. What? You want me to give this guy like a wet willy? He does. He did it. He obeyed what the Lord told him to do. And that man wasn't not healed. I got some of you who thought I was going to say that. He wasn't healed. He walked away, I don't know, probably feeling pretty embarrassed and looking completely foolish in public. And it's worse when you're in line. I'm sure they were in line somewhere. It's worse when you're in line. I've been in a similar situation. Not quite that bad. Not that humiliating. But it's really awkward when you're in line. One time the Lord asked me to ask the cashier if she knew Jesus. There's people behind me and everybody was mad at me. But it was important. It was important. That's not about, this story's not about that. This is way worse. So then A week later, I don't know. Like I said, he starts seeing deaf people everywhere. He sees someone and she's signing. It's a young woman signing to her friend. And he goes up to her. The Holy Spirit says, do it. And he's like, oh, for real? Okay, you better do your job this time, Lord. He went. He did it. So first of all, she gave him permission to do this. And then she wasn't healed. A third time, the Lord said, I want you to do this. There was a specific person. He should not shop ever again. He should just go to Amazon. I don't know. He should get everything online, right? And he did it a third time. He thought, this third time's the charm. This is going to be it. We're good. Nope. Didn't happen. And then he really started to shut down. Lord, I'm not doing this anymore. Three strikes and you're out. Baseball, life, doesn't matter. I'm done. And there was a fourth time. And the fourth time, he was in a grocery store. So I don't know. I'm saying it was like a Kroger. Maybe Home Depot was the problem. I don't know. So he sees this mother signing to her little girl. And the Holy Spirit nudges him. And he's so sick of the Holy Spirit at this point. But it's, I don't know if you've ever felt this. It's really, really hard to have such a desire to obey the Lord and to see somebody healed. Or I had a similar thing with really wanting to go street preaching. That's another story. And it's really, it's kind of, you know the Lord wants it, but it's not, it doesn't seem like, why would this be, it seems like, why would this be a good idea, Lord? Why is this good? How does this honor you? And he started to say, Lord, I'm not doing this here. This is in his hometown. He said, no, these people know me. These people here know me. They know where I go to church. And it started to be more, it flipped a little bit. They know where I go to church, and I do not want to make you look like a fool. But what honors God more than obedience? Nothing. Nothing. And so, he did. He prayed. He stuck his fingers in her ears, and she was healed. Completely, immediately healed. Could hear. And they knew who he was, and they knew where he went to church, by the way. And when I hear that story, oh, and then the person sharing this story said, now, would you be willing, he said to all of us there, would you be willing to go through all the humiliation and failure for that little girl to be healed of deafness? Is it worth it to you? And I just thought, I'm not willing, but it would totally be worth it. Like, I don't know where that leaves me. But it's totally worth it. The healing is totally worth it. But the point really wasn't that God needed him. That God is not impressed that this healing happened, right? God did it. It's all, he does the miracles. Even from a human perspective, I think we can say that miracle is really impressive that she was healed. But we can all say, I think probably, what's more impressive than that was this young man's obedience. That's the fact that God can heal someone from deafness. I totally get that. The fact that he could be that obedient, that blows my mind. God delights in that so much. You think God's not bragging about him to the saints and the angels and whoever is listening? He is. I made him do this. This is the fourth time I made him do this. The other times he looked like a complete fool and nothing happened, and he still did it. I don't mean to make God sound like he's kind of laughing at it, but really, that obedience was what the Lord was looking for, and I don't understand. I can't tell you why. What about the other three people? What, I don't know. What about God looking really, really foolish and your church looking foolish and your faith looking foolish? I have no idea. I really don't. But I can tell you that it doesn't matter because God delights in obedience. And this young man was obedient. He was asking the question, what would please the Lord? And I want to do that. Brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord wants us to ask. What would please the Lord? It's fine to ask what's most effective, what's most efficient, how can we get this done? But we can't skip the question, what would please the Lord? What would honor him? It's not always the predictable or safe thing to do, right? But it's always the most important. As we ask that question, it always leads us to obedience. And as we obey the Lord, we, through the obedience of faith, just invite the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to operate in us, to make his home within our hearts, within our very bodies, within our lives, within our relationships. And he makes his dwelling among us powerfully through obedience.